Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon and Danny Murphy take a look at the EFL's new landmark TV deal and the championship title race, which is heating up nicely. A double for Harry Kane puts Bayern Munich through to the Champions League quarterfinals. Will Kane win a trophy before Tottenham? And why would Xabi Alonso choose Munich over Anfield? Danny gives us his take. Meantime, TalkSport understands Manchester United want to make Crystal Palace sporting director Dougie Friedman their new head of recruitment. Simon knows him well and gives us an insight into his personality. This is Outspoken with White and Jordan. What we do have, Simon, is a serious race in the championship. Last night, at the end of it all, the upshot was, and there are more games tonight, it's as you were in the championship, 5 points separating the top three, wins for Leicester, Leeds and Ipswich. But we've got ourselves a proper title race, Simon, in that league.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got ourselves a remarkable league. Yes. When you're looking at, you've got three teams legitimately going for an automatic promotion spot. You've got seven sides going for playoff spots, maybe even eight. And you've got nine sides that potentially can get sucked into a relegation situation.
Yeah.
So you've got 20 of the teams in the division having jeopardy on every single game. That makes it a remarkable league. I mean, obviously, watching the results last night, I was, you know, very impressed with Ipswich, you know, going into the last 10 minutes of a game, 2-1 down. Bristol City have got some reasonable results recently, notably knocking West Ham out of the FA Cup. And Ipswich had the belief to come back round and win that game 3-2. And of course, Leicester. You know, I thought they would beat Sunderland. And Leicester have now regained their poise and they'll recalibrate again. I still think Leicester will win the league.
Yeah.
A great set of results, great set of interest in that league, and a great league. I mean, the irony of it is, it's a league everyone wants to get out of, but notwithstanding it, it's still a great league.
Absolutely. I mean, it's called a brutal division, and it is. Yeah, regards Leicester, Danny, you know, three defeats on the spin, and then last night they go there and get the win they needed at Sunderland, as Simon says. As players, you know, can a little rough patch sometimes do you more good than bad? You come out the other end of it.
Yeah, refocus, bit more energy. I mean, the reality was, two of the three games which I saw, especially the Leeds one, which was unbelievable, they actually played really well and made a hatful of chances in all those games. So it wasn't like they played badly and fell off a cliff with their form.
Yeah.
The manager then just has to keep reinforcing the consistency of what they're doing, because they were making chance after chance. And they've got a lot of experienced players. They've got players who've played, you know, been around the Premier League. So that'll help them. But I'm with you. I think they will get over the line, and then it's between looks like Leeds and Ipswich at the minute.
I think this morning, Simon, we should raise a glass to your chum Trevor Birch at the EFL.
Yep.
I mean, in spite of your protestations, I think it's time to accept the positives of what Hollywood owners can bring to football. The EFL has managed a 40% rise in overseas broadcasting rights and it's eyeing up cracking America. And your friends at Wrexham, Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, and look at your face, you don't like to compliment them, and you won't. But Wrexham claim they now have the biggest international following of any EFL club, beating the likes of Leeds United and Leicester City. That's where we're at.
They probably do. I mean, they probably do because of the nature of the association with a major movie star. And let's see how that plays out. And let's see how that plays out if they manage to get promoted out of League 2 this season into League 1, where the costs go up and everything goes up exponentially. Let's see how much appetite they've got, because we know this is a project that's ostensibly being funded by an underpinning TV deal. And when it becomes that TV deal only goes so far and you've got to write out proper checks with due respect to the scale of wealth they've got, we'll see how much ambition and how much enthusiasm they've got for it. Right now, what they've done is they've turned an ailing Welsh football club into something that people are talking about. Well done to them. I have every respect for that, but I don't want to go overboard attributing far too much to them than they necessarily merit. They've got huge interest because a lot of people look at Ryan Reynolds. The other fella, you know, he carries his bag. But Ryan Reynolds is the audience
kind
grabber.
Kind of true, isn't it?
Well, Tom Brady's gone into Birmingham City as well, and I met some of their guys last week, and they're really happy about that because it gives them profile.
Fantastic, but profile carries you so far. Mm. In the end, you've got to know what you're doing, and you have the propensity to put your hands in your pockets. And so far, what we've seen from Tom Brady's little crew is bring Wayne Rooney in and put Birmingham in the bottom five of the championship.
But profile, Simon, whether we like it or not, has got a big deal to do with a 40% rise in overseas broadcasting rights.
Maybe we can attribute some of that factor into the equation. I mean, ultimately, they're not going to be buying TV rights for English football because Netflix have done something on a documentary that subsequently makes sense, and you've got a movie star attached to a film, to a football club. I think you've got to attribute a lot of that to the remarkable nature of the attendances inside the championship, the value of the clubs that are inside that championship, like Leeds United and other clubs that are in there. They've got heritage.
Yeah.
And the fact you've got two boys at the top of the EFL in Rick Parry and Trevor Birch that know what they're doing.
Well, exactly. The advisor to the board at Wrexham is Sean Harvey, who, of course, was once the top man at the EFL. But he's been talking about the merits of this US broadcast deal.
The league concluded a deal yesterday to sell its own overseas TV rights for the next 4 years, and effectively has recognised that the previous way of selling these rights wasn't going to generate the maximum value. So effectively, they split the rights and sold them individually into America. And that's the story of the day. The EFL giving its clubs a platform to try and win hearts and minds in the USA.
I mean, it's down now to the EFL, I suppose, Simon, to show us that they've got the reach, they have the appeal, they have the drive, the enthusiasm to get from there, where they've got to now, good luck to them, to there.
Well, I think for once, including the fellow that just spoke, we've got some competent running of the EFL in terms of Rick Parry and Trevor Birch. Previously, none of them, including Sean Harvey, have been particularly good at what they've done. And so now you've got people inside the EFL that commercially know what they're doing. And you've got to this order that's being maintained in the EFL. Rick Parry and Trevor Birch have got a real opportunity to get the Premier League to come to heel around some proper distribution. Lovely you get an overseas deals. Lovely another 150 million quid on top of the Sky deal that's been increased to whatever it was, 180 million pounds a season. Yeah. So they've done two deals that have exponentially grown it. The next frontier is they can get some proper money out of the Premier League in advance of the independent regulator. And the EFL's got to hold together, because I know this league and I know that there'll be clubs sitting in the EFL now going, oh, don't ever play your hand, Rick. Don't ever play your hand. Take what's on offer from the Premier League. Now is the time. You're never going to get an opportunity again. You've never had an opportunity in the last 30 years to get a deal with the Premier League and to get them to come to heel because of the threat of the independent regulator. So one thing is getting overseas deals for 150 million quid. Over 4 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Another thing is getting the Sky deal for £180 million a season. There is an opportunity to get near to 20% of UK distributions, which is £700 million. And that's where they need to hold their nerve, and that's where the opportunity for the EFL. But it's a brilliant league. And look at the teams in it. Look at the fact it's probably the fourth or best supported league in European football as our second tier of English football.
Yeah.
Look at the competitivity in it. Look at the jeopardy in this league. And look at the guys that are running it now. And that's where the value is.
Even if the distribution does get agreed and it's much better and healthier and everyone's happy, is there going to be any changes in the way that's governed? Because
absolutely. Otherwise, it's worthless.
That's what I was just going to ask.
They will have to bring in a variety of things, and I think salary cap should be right at the top of the queue.
What should their next priority be, Simon?
Get the money out of the Premier League and underpin it with governance like salary caps.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on turnover.
And also look at their own distribution mechanisms, because it's ironic that we complain about the Premier League and its distributions, whereas currently what happens in the EFL is 80% goes to one league, 12% goes to League One, and 8% goes to League Two. So you've got this cliff edge in each division. Yeah. We complain about the cliff edge dropping out of the Premier League. You've got a cliff edge dropping out of the Championship. So there's a a lot of things, but these boys have got the capability to do it.
Download, stand well back, listen. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Good morning, everybody. A lot of people reacting to the fact that Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds at Wrexham have really done a lot for football here in England, further down the pyramid, and they've done a lot, of course they have, for Wrexham. But not only Wrexham, other clubs are getting a spin-off as well. Morning Talk Sport, that must be us, no name in this. I'm not a Wrexham fan, but I think Simon is underestimating Ryan Reynolds. He's not just a Hollywood star, he's actually a keen investor, and he's a smart businessman. Look up his history and his investments. He can fund Wrexham to go all the way to the Premiership.
Well, we'll see, won't we? Yes, of course we know that he's invested in some very significant alcohol companies, made a lot of money out of those businesses.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. If you attach your name to something, you're in a position of great influence, it's often easy to make money, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
We'll see. The appetite...
Don't know.
Simon, without them, Wrexham Man United pre-season in San Diego probably wouldn't have happened last year.
Of course not. And absolutely. And I do not decry the impact and the effect that they're having on their football club. My question is, when it gets expensive, and I mean really expensive,
right?
Because this time last year we were hearing them say if we didn't get promoted, it was existential, because we that £1 million it would have cost if we didn't get promoted was an existential threat. What? Make your mind up. Either you've got loads of money and you're a keen investor, or £1 million is a big sum of money. Ultimately, if you're going to get to the Championship and you're going to compete, you're going to be spending tens of millions of pounds.
Sure, but you do accept, though, that the 40% rise in overseas broadcasting rights in the EFL, a lot of it has got to do with people like these two coming into the game.
Well, it's not a case of accepting it, because I'm not resisting the notion. I'm not on the other side of the argument.
You don't like them.
I've no interest in them either which way. I'm just not attributing more to them than is necessary, because by attributing the success of something to them, you're diminishing the achievements of other people. They are part of the process. Of course, the awareness factor would have gone up to fivefold, but the Championship wouldn't be a secret. It's also not huge amounts of money. So with the greatest respect in the world, the Championship is the reason why the EFL is being rewarded with this deal, not because Ryan Reynolds is running around donning a Deadpool mask at Wrexham.
But they have raised the global appeal. You can't deny that.
It depends.
I mean, we talk about a 39th game. Will we see a Championship match played in the US sometime soon?
For what purpose and to what end and for what reason?
To service the audience that's obviously out
there.
Well,
the audience is servicing for the broadcasting deals. Well, I've never understood this argument, why we need to hawk our mutton over to another part of the world to prostitute ourselves to make us look like we need their particular products. When we've got the whole nature of the deal is a broadcast deal. They've got the vision. Let's have some more money from broadcast deals.
Mm.
So I'm not denying in any shape or form the value of Ryan Reynolds' contribution to Wrexham and the fact that it will have had an uptick in the US because of the fact you've got a major movie star that's got tens of millions of followers having some eyes on the prize. When he shuffles off back to polishing his Hollywood star and is no longer interested in Wrexham, we'll see how long that interest
that
stays with
so
Wrexham.
Wrong.
I think there's one. Simon sounds jealous of these guys, Jim, doesn't he?
Who's not jealous of a major Hollywood movie star that looks like he does? You've got to have an element of jealousy about it, haven't you? Envy's a better word.
There's Gary, who's got in touch. Jim, Simon, Portsmouth, of course, owned by one member of the Walt Disney family. Well, somebody that used to work for the Disney Corporation. Who was it?
Michael Eisner.
Michael Eisner. But you never speak about them because, in your eyes, they're a Mickey Mouse team. Do you like that? I have to say, well done, Gary.
Hey, Jim, no wonder you get all these good charity gigs up in Scotland. Oh,
Thank you very much indeed. There's another one. I believe Ryan Reynolds is around the billionaire mark due to his business dealings and his companies that he owns. So £1 million is peanuts.
But he was the one.
Don't like us praising him because of his business achievements.
I admire achievements. I'm not like the British people that like to bring people down. I like to praise people for what they actually do rather than give them more credit than they're entitled to. But the reason why I took the £1 million is that he's the one that said it. He's the one that said, if we didn't get promoted, this was existential to us. £1 million would have been lost and we'd have been in real trouble. Mm. Well, make your mind up. Either you're a billionaire or you're not.
Briefly, how far can the EFL go, though, over in the United States?
How far can it go? How far does it need to go?
Well, they're a big identity now they didn't have before.
Well, they can't. Everybody wants the Premier League. So if the EFL is really polishing itself, I used to have this conversation about the Premier League being all bells and whistles, and the Championship being an old geezer with a rattle as part of their advertising. So if they're going to up their game and promote themselves in the right fashion, they give themselves lots of opportunities. But they will always be second fiddle to the Premier League.
Yeah, and the EFL, let's be honest, it's Ryan Reynolds is the one that's created the spike of interest there and Wrexham. It's not really the EFL as a package. They've got people over there who love watching EFL, yes, but that's only been enhanced because of one owner and one club and the Netflix series. I don't think people over there are going, oh, we really love the EFL now.
All helps, though.
The value of it.
It helps. I mean, it helps because you'll gain interest, but only so much. It can only go so far.
It's not necessarily the interest to the punter, it's the broadcasters. The broadcasters' eyes have been opened up a little bit so they can see the value of it. So, of course, it plays its part. I'm just pushing back up against the categorisation that you want to put on it, that the only reason they've done this deal is because of Deadpool.
Look, you've already admitted you're jealous of him, and we agree, so let's move
envious.
On.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, at the time when they came in, we thought, what are they doing here, Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney? But now the spin-off for others, Simon, has been quite seismic in a relatively short space of time.
I mean, we knew what they were doing here because they underpinned their proposition, and wonderful for Wrexham, by the way.
Yeah.
Underpinned their proposition by a commercial broadcast deal. And that's great. And because sport is entertainment, I fully understand the reality of it. But we have seen football people with significant wealth attach themselves to football clubs like Salford. And we know that there is a massive disconnect between what it takes to get yourself into a position where you're a proper football club competing in the championship, as opposed to smaller football clubs that still have value and still have cost implications, but there are two different distinctions. And if we're going to make all this brouhaha about these guys, let's have a look at it through a proper prism rather than just, oh, how wonderful, it's a Hollywood movie star that's turned the EFL into something viable. I don't like that characterisation.
No, but I think
it's
been
turned down for a movie role. Is this why? Were you mentioned being in a movie we would have seen you in, but you didn't get the gig?
Yeah.
I think it's admirable, the amount of energy and effort they have put in.
Yes.
I didn't expect that. You know, yeah. they're there a lot. The journey they've been on, you know, integrating themselves a lot with the local community and the fans and stuff. They could have been more distant.
And good luck to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's great. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying you diminish. The EFL would have gone and got this deal one way or t'other. It's been helped and enhanced, and every aspect of something that increases the recognition is good. But when you're sitting there as a tub thumper, you know, we see you disappear up David Sullivan's backside, you're off with the Saudis left, right and centre, and now all of a sudden you're the poster boy for Wrexham.
Do you think
we can't have these things?
Do you think they would have got a 40% rise in overseas broadcasting rights without them? That says it all.
Possibly.
Now then, Andy in Nottinghamshire. Hi, guys. I'm a Wrexham fan. I agree and disagree with Simon.
Thank you.
Yeah, the value of Rob and Ryan is immense, and they're in it for the long haul. But also the value of teams like Leeds and Ipswich and Leicester also play a huge part in all of this.
A balanced argument.
And Jim,
a balanced argument.
Jim, I've
we're
got to say,
balance.
Well done there, by the way. You dealt with that professionally, admirably, maturely, sophisticated. Didn't respond, didn't get defensive.
There's a bet coming, isn't there?
No, I was surprised.
Just that's why I like Wednesdays.
Just throw a few comments in there about scabby journalism and he'll soon lose the veneer.
Because Danny's in and around me. I haven't forgotten that. Don't you worry. I'm coming for you, Simon Jordan.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
the world's most dangerous download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Harry Kane last night to the rescue, Danny. I mean, if ever we saw why Bayern Munich decided to go 100 million plus for a player and go after Harry to that extent, it was last night. Lazio went to the Allianz Arena in the Champions League, one up from the first leg. Harry Kane well and truly turned things around for Bayern Munich last night, and Bayern Munich progress. A double for Harry, inspired Bayern Munich in a turnaround in their tie, and now they're in the Champions League quarterfinals. Is it your belief, Danny, that Harry Kane will indeed end up winning a trophy probably before Tottenham do?
Yeah, I think that would be a good bet. Yeah, because they'll bounce back next season and win the league, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They could possibly win the Champions League this season, unlikely with what I've seen, but possibly. And over the next 3 years, he's likely to get quite a few trophies. Munich are only going to get, after they've decided to get rid of Tuchel, they'll have a little revamp of the squad and they'll dominate again. So, yes, it's unlikely Tottenham will win one before Harry Kane. But yeah, we don't know.
No.
I mean, and that's not to say I'm not enjoying what Tottenham are doing.
You don't think Tottenham could go into the Europa League next season and be quite significant in it?
Significant,
maybe,
yeah,
the European Conference League, yeah, and actually go and win it, like other sides in English football have done, like West Ham.
I think Tottenham will get in the Champions League, so the worst they'll end up is Europa League. And the problem is, when you're playing Champions League and Europa League, you'll always come up against a powerhouse.
Yeah, definitely Champions League.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we're just surmising. I mean, I hope Tottenham win something. It doesn't. So I would love to see Tottenham win something quicker than Harry Kane. That would please me. I've got no problem with that. But the reality is, when asked the question, percentage-wise, I would, if you were betting on one or t'other, I would probably go for Kane winning something at Munich before Tottenham.
Yeah.
Most people probably would. But I tell you what, the disappointment around Munich season is obvious, and Tuchel losing his job, well, in effect losing his job. There was a few changes last night in the team, which maybe it's easier to be brave when you know you're walking out the door, but you're talking about second leg when you're chasing.
Go on.
He played a lad in midfield called Pavlovic, 19-year-old, who's been at the club since he's a small boy.
Right.
Through but Munich, he came in.
Yeah.
He left some big names on the bench, and he got it right in the end. So...
Yeah. Yeah.
Tuchel could, as Simon said before, if the draw's kind, they've got quality. Kane
could go through and win it.
Kane, by the way, I mean, talk about reliable, consistent, you know, relentless with his finishing. The two goals were just, they're the type of goals that you can't teach how to score.
Yeah.
Because both of them, he was in the perfect position. You can't teach it. It's just a gift.
And he's as cool as you like. He never over-celebrates. You look at him and you think, well, that's what I'm there to do.
Humble. Yeah. Likeable.
And if he's enjoying it, Eric Dier must be loving it. And he started the game last night alongside De Ligt.
Played all right.
Yeah.
He did okay. It's a great opportunity for him, considering he was out of Tottenham's team and then walks into Munich's team.
Yeah.
Fair play to him.
Yeah, quite amazing. So Bayern progress in the tournament. Harry Kane could be on for a trophy in his first season at Tottenham. The thing is, at Bayern Munich, the thing is, who is going to end up as his boss? Because as we know, Tuchel's exiting stage left at the end of the season. Is it indeed going to be Xabi Alonso? Is he going to put his pen on the piece of paper that belongs to Bayern Munich before he even looks at what Liverpool may or may not offer? Konstantin Ekner, the German football broadcaster, said, yeah, it's looking that way.
I think Bayern are in a great position right now. You have to think about it. I mean, he knows Bayern just like he knows Liverpool. I mean, he played for them until he retired from football. He played 3 years there. He was a starting 11 player until he retired. So we just think about that. He played under Guardiola and Ancelotti for Bayern. And also, thinking about it, I mean, Bayern are right now in a bit of a slump. Yes, they still structurally, they are still a great club. And succeeding Thomas Tuchel might be easier than being the successor to Jürgen Klopp at Anfield. These are some shoes to fill. And I don't even know if Xabi Alonso feels ready to it. Just thinking about it. I mean, Jürgen Klopp, 9 years at Anfield. His successor is almost doomed to fail.
You know, we listened to Konstantin yesterday. He's got his finger in the pulse. He's a good journalist. But the suggestion is, Danny, that it's looking like Alonso, a man in demand, will say yes to Bayern before he says anything to Liverpool.
Well, I mean, we don't know his mindset and what he thinks and what his priorities are. There's a few factors. There's a football factor and a family one. I mean, where your kids want to be brought up, where your wife wants to live, all those things are relevant, I'm sure. From a football perspective, Bayern Munich is probably the easier route in the fact that with a bit of tweaking and belief in himself that he thinks he could overcome Leverkusen, is the team he knows so well, next season, and Dortmund, and get back to winning the title. It's probably sensible from a football decision and career path in terms of trophy success. Liverpool, it's a difficult one because I'm speaking from somebody who's got that affinity and love for the club and had it since a young boy, which he probably doesn't have. I know he loves the fans and I know he loved his time there. But the Liverpool job is probably going to be there for him, even if he goes to Munich first. Where I would suggest Liverpool, what I mean by that is whoever goes in after Klopp is highly unlikely to have the same success. Therefore, there's probably going to be another change.
Yeah.
And maybe Alonso's thinking, well, I'll wait, let someone else try and fill
attempt
those.
To follow Klopp.
And then that might still be there later. No guarantees, of course.
Yeah.
You know, someone could walk in the door at Liverpool and have success. Munich, the only thing I'd say Liverpool have an advantage, if I was in his shoes, would be Munich expectation is going to be greater. And I say that even though Liverpool expect to win things, the Liverpool fans, if Alonso goes there, because of his affinity with them, he's got a year for free, at least. A bit like Klopp did. First year or two, even. They know it's not going to be the same. He knows he's going to need time to implement his ideas and bring in some players he wants, etc., etc. The fans will be with him.
Yeah.
Whereas at Munich, although they like him, there's a much quicker turn.
Did you ever think he'd be this sought after in football, Alonso?
Well, I know, not really.
I mean, wherever he's got it, he's good at it. Well, in terms of coaching.
He's had a remarkable start.
Yeah.
A bit like a young player coming through, and you can see this talent, you can see this calmness and this authority and this nice free-flowing football and belief in his team that he's created. So, no, I don't think I overthought about whether he would or he wouldn't. I knew what he was as a footballer, super intelligent, a clever player, calm, you know, all the things you need to be a brilliant midfielder, but it doesn't mean you're going to translate them necessarily to management.
But what you're telling us this morning, Danny, even with your love of Liverpool as it is, you can understand why he would say yes to Munich.
I could understand it, yeah. I mean, you can't not understand it. I find it difficult because I don't have that.
You don't want to see Liverpool getting a second prize.
I don't have that objectivity. I only see it one way, but the reality is he is in a different place. And in some ways, the more you think about it, even though you don't want to hear it as a Liverpool fan, the more the Munich thing does make sense.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised yesterday, Simon, when Konstantin Ekner told us, no, he's had conversations with Bayern, fully with the approval of Bayer Leverkusen.
And that was the understanding that we had. You know, that in terms of Leverkusen's attitude towards a so-called bigger club coming in, which makes it slightly curious as to the reasons why Liverpool, having known since November, if we follow the narrative that Liverpool were in for Alonso and believe that to be the case, then it makes it curious as to why Liverpool haven't had these opportunities and conversations before the Tuchel affair blew up.
They might have.
They may well have done.
They might
But at this moment in time, if the argument is being led by the fact that Munich are getting in there first, because we spoke to Konstantin yesterday and he said Liverpool have not had contact with him, but Munich have.
And Liverpool have known since November.
Yeah, I don't see
I mean, I think Alonso is this ascent that he's got his moment in time. Timing is so important in life. You've seen the decline of Munich, which ultimately gets given the opportunity. Because I mean, we're talking about a guy that, put aside Sociedad B, but a guy that's managed 71 games.
Yep.
So we are at the very beginning of his managerial career in terms of his experiences, his expertise, and his understanding of the principles of management. And so with that, I think when you looked at Klopp after his management period at Mainz and Dortmund, he had a lot more games under his belt, more experience. And a lot more success.
Yeah.
And questions because he had the argument about how he burnt teams out quickly and what lessons he learnt from that. So I personally wouldn't be surprised if the indications of Liverpool's interest in Alonso are slightly more overstated than we are led to believe in terms of the reality of what always nailed on for it. You know, people are starting to ramp up the narrative that the number two at Liverpool...
Pep Linders.
Correct.
Yeah.
...is something that the players would like. And also, you're shaking your head.
That's not my interpretation.
That's not your understanding of it.
No.
Okay, my understanding of it is something different, but I'll bow to yours because you're closer to that club than me. But the bottom line is Liverpool have been successful in continuity. And the one thing about Liverpool that is different to the poison chalice of Man United and perhaps Arsenal is Liverpool are in pretty good nick.
They are.
They've gone through a rebuild.
That's true.
They've got their, they've rehashed their playing squad. They've got young players coming through. So it's not like when Ferguson went out the door in 2013.
You know, the other plus Liverpool have got in the fight, if they're in it as strongly as we think, is that there has to be a degree in my eye, because I say he seems like a good fella, not footballing, that you never know. But if you've gone done a good job and go and win the league with Leverkusen and build up that, you know, it's like, wow, great relationship with the fans, you see him celebrating. And then he goes to Munich, one of their rivals for next season. If you're a Leverkusen fan or kind of player looking, going, why would you go, you know, you got an opportunity to go, don't know, it seems a bit...
Right.
It seems a bit disloyal to leave a club that gave you a wonderful opportunity when you didn't have the body of work to deserve it, really.
Yeah.
And then you jump ship to go to the team, a team that wants to take
the flip side of that is that that's not the Michael Beale argument where you've been given an opportunity, haven't earned it. If he goes and wins Leverkusen the league, he will have earned the reality of moving on.
No, but you know what I mean? He's then jumping ship to a rival, in effect, for the same trophy next season. Whereas if you're going to leave him in the lurch a little bit after them giving you an opportunity, I think the buyer, not that he probably cares deep down, but the Leverkusen...
But they're welcoming it on. Leverkusen are basically they're saying, there you go.
Go and have a chat with Bayern.
go and have a chat.
Danny, one thing many people are agreeing with is about this boy Pavlovic. It seems that Bayern Munich unearthed a gem. There's Nicky, who's a Rangers fan. Danny's on the money with that. I totally agree with him. Pavlovic, so outstanding, and is just 19. I didn't know that. So he must be knocking on the door for the Euros as well, you would think.
Danger. Flammable exchanges ahead. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Clubs rebuilding off and on the pitch. And of course, one of the biggest clubs of the lot, undeniably Manchester United. So let's get to it. Simon, with your roots, of course, with your background at Crystal Palace and your knowledge of the football club, all the talk at the moment is the Manchester United rebuild, involving the taking of one Omar Berada from Manchester City. He was City's chief football operations officer, who's now gone to Manchester United. Newcastle's director of football, Dan Ashworth, of course, as we understand it now, in gardening leave, very much en route to Manchester United. Who's next? Well, we hear that next in line could well be Crystal Palace sporting director, Dougie Friedman. Manchester United appear, Simon, to be building towards a best-in-class environment. And many Palace fans are asking me to ask you, Dougie Friedman, tell us about his qualities. Tell us why Manchester United would come in for him in such a way.
Because Dougie's a good thinker and a good spotter of talent. He's also a good negotiator. I mean, I've known Dougie for 24 years now. I signed him back at Palace in 2000. He was very, very friendly with my late father. And someone I'm very fond of. I also know that he's very capable in the position that he's in. I think he had, you know, a good time for a period of time when he was managing Palace, and I think the team that got promoted in 2013 was ostensibly his team, with people like Yannick Bolasie and Jednik were players that he recruited, and Ian Holloway got the benefit of being able to take them up. He went to Bolton. I advised him not to go to Bolton because I felt Bolton was an unstable environment for him to go to because he just got relegated, but he wanted to do that. He went to Forest. I don't think management was the thing for him. I think the space where he's in now, where he can think clearly and look at things objectively and make decisions based upon player recruitment, is a great space for Dougie. And I wouldn't be surprised. You know, it's not my gift to betray confidences.
No.
But notwithstanding that, you know, I think it's a good fit. And I think it's a fit that could distinctly likely happen. And I think they're building. You know, people will look at it and go, well, Crystal Palace and Man United. Well, you could make the argument about Dan Ashworth, West Bromwich Albion, Brighton, Chelsea, or Newcastle, and now Man United. It's not about your journey. It's about what you do while you're on that journey and what you're effective in. And I think a lot of the players that Palace have recruited, Eze and other players like that, are players that Dougie has been putting his hat on.
Yeah.
Well, you could argue Eze, Elise, Gehi, even Decore, holding midfielder, all four of them getting United's team.
Correct. And I would be willing to wager a lot of those were the intellectual capital of Dougie Friedman. He works well in teams. He's a very clever operator. You know, he's not controversial. He doesn't get in people's faces, and you won't hear him courting the media.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. He's not somebody who courts the limelight. You never hear him shouting from the rooftops about what he's done and who he's signed and who
he's
helped.
He's got plenty of steel. I'm worried about that.
Yeah. Well, to have, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, to have known you and worked with you for that amount of time and for you to talk so favourably about him speaks volumes, to be quite honest.
He's a good guy. He's a clever operator. you know, and as a footballer, he had lots of talent. So I used to say to him, you know, if you just had a little bit more edge, you'd be, you know, playing for top Premier League side, but technical ability-wise.
Technically, very good.
Yeah, very good player.
I think
very
the thing
player.
Is, Jim...
A very clever operator as well. First thing he ever said to me when I signed it from Nottingham Forest was, okay, Chairman, what would make you happy? I said, sling you up down a training ground, score a few goals. Don't start trying to play me, you bloody saucy sod. But he's a clever operator, and I'm very fond of him, and I think if he gets the opportunity, he's well worthy of it.
Yeah, he's from Glasgow, still only 49. I mean, I can only think of a handful of times I've spoken with Dougie Friedman in my time down here, which is close on 25 years. As you say, Simon, he prefers a low profile.
Yeah. He likes married to Ray Clements' daughter.
Right, likes to be effective.
Or you could argue he likes avoiding journalists who create headlines.
Oh, right. Oh, thank you. Look at you. So if they get Friedman, Simon, with Berada through the door, good by team. Then Ashworth through the door and Friedman through the door, are they building towards what Ratcliffe wants as best in class?
Well, they think they are, don't they? I mean, ultimately, they're changing the direction of travel by recruiting people to ostensibly look at the weakest area of Man United, the most evidently weakest area, which is their recruitment policies and why they buy players and why they retain players. And it doesn't take much common sense to see that's an area you'd focus on. So you bring Brailsford in, you bring the other fellow, which is the, you know, the chief football operator now coming out of Manchester City, getting a promotion from the Man City job into the Man United job because he's getting a different level of responsibility. He's going in as CEO, isn't he? So with that in mind, all of these will be considered decisions to advance it. And I think they will give up Man United. Look, it's not difficult. I mean, people are making a four-act play out of this. It's evidently the problem is recruitment and the reasons why the culture of Man United has gotten into a situation it has gotten into. And if that's your problem, that's where you focus on. Ashworth seems to be operating at a very high level for the clubs that he's been at. I think it's a whole different, you know, barrel of apples for him at Man United because there's a different expectation and a different set of sentiments, but notwithstanding it, each step he's taken, he's taken it well. So it's not a surprise that you'd alight upon Ashworth. Dougie Friedman is a sensible thinker.
Yeah.
And so that's another decent decision-making process. Brailsford for me is the one that I'd be interested to see because a lot is made about Dave Brailsford and his theory of the sum of all marginal gains.
Right.
And we'll see how it translates.
Sure thing. When you said it's a whole different, but I thought you were going to say ball game, but you said barrel of apples.
Barrel of apples.
Which I've seldom heard.
Good one, isn't it?
Danny, when you look at Manchester United, invariably we'll look at Liverpool at the same time. Liverpool are on the hunt for a new sporting director. The role has been vacant since this man, Shamatka, left the club back in January. Michael Edwards left the club in that position back in 2022, and now they're reportedly interested in appointing Richard Hughes, after the Bournemouth technical director confirmed that he's leaving the club this summer. So not so much noise around what Liverpool are doing, but they're busy too.
Yeah, well, I think Liverpool have got... The structure's been in place for quite a long time, unlike United, who haven't really had a structure by all accounts. So it's easier to fill little gaps when they become available, when people leave and you go and find someone to go into the structure that's already there.
Yeah.
United seem to be doing the whole lot in one...
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd hope that Liverpool know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard Hughes, I think he used to play... I played against him a few times. He's obviously done well in that area. So, just trying to keep that conveyor belt of good signings coming at Liverpool is the key because they don't seem to get too many wrong.
No. Richard Hughes, Simon, any dealings with?
No.
Or know about him?
No.
I mean, he, again, thought to be a quiet but very effective operator in the game.
Younger guy as well. He's not old. You know, he's probably younger than me, actually. But somebody who is well thought of, yeah. But as I said before, the Liverpool situation's... They've got a huge team there.
Yeah. He's just 44.
Yeah, younger than me.
Yeah. What age are you?
I'm nearly 47. Sorry. Hey, yeah, come on, that's not old.
No.
But
you're looking at me, it's not.
But I think, as Simon said before, anybody walking into a job at Liverpool, whether it be the manager, whether it be recruitment, there's already a great team in place and a really good body of work there.
Yeah.
A platform to go into and perform on. United, you've got to go in and change things, mix things up. That is a big job at United.
Do you think United's a bigger challenge?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're walking in the door at Liverpool into a recruitment structure that already has so many of the places filled, I would imagine Dan Ashworth, Dougie Freeman, those type of guys, if they're going in there, they're going to also want a lot of people around them they already know and have worked with.
Mm.
I think you're talking about lots of jobs at United being given to different people across the spectrum and across the world.
But Danny, Liverpool have still got the biggest one of the lot to fill.
Mm.
Post Jürgen.
Well, United have. They want success. They've got to find a new manager as well.
You don't think they'll carry on under the Ratcliffe era with Ten Hag?
No. I'd be amazed.
Would you, Simon?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what Radcliffe will do. I know what I would do, because I don't think the guy's capable of doing the job in the bigger, in the longer game of winning things for Man United. So you're just sort of prolonging the inevitable. Mm. But I can't speak for what Radcliffe's mindset is. But I know what I would think, which is, no, I'm going to have a change. Mm. But it's easy. It's easy to say you'll have a change. It's more difficult to say who you're going to change to.
Mm. Yeah. Very briefly, Simon, in comes Berada, in comes Dan Ashworth, and now seemingly, and it's not confirmed yet, far from it, but maybe in comes Dougie Friedman. You wonder what they were doing before.
Precisely.
Were they far from best in class?
Well, look at the recruitment.
Yeah.
It answers itself, doesn't it?
What was the structure?
The structure was a group of people that were put in position, with due respect to John Murtough, that were making decisions with an absentee landlord of an owner that was enabling them to spend money, but not really concerned, because the bigger effect for them was that they were just raking it in. That's why the book is called, that was written about them by Chris Blackhurst, The World's Biggest Cash Machine, or ATM, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, it hasn't affected them for any period of time. They've focused on the commercial revenues, and they've enabled huge spending without really concentrating on what that spending's going on.
Yeah.
You can look at, in recent terms, Antony, but you can go back and go back and go back. You can look at the reasons why Alexis Sanchez didn't sign for Man City and signed for Man United, because Man United prepared to pay more money. It became all about Manchester United being a cash cow for football players rather than a cultural opportunity to play for the biggest club in the world.
I think they have uniquely, at these times, given the manager autonomy in many respects. When you look at Martinez, Onana, Antony, very few of the signings seem to be something that's been thought of outside of his head.
Sure.
Which the other big clubs aren't doing.
Okay, there's Stephen, Manchester United fan. Guys, you're all wrong. Ten Hag is going to end up winning the league for United. Well, you know what? It just might.
No chance.
The question is when.
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.